Welcome back to the GTN podcast. My name is Alex Harrington. If you don't know me, I run the GTN website and I write a lot. You've also probably heard me on some previous podcasts we've done with Bentley. But Bentley isn't here right now because this is the very start of the weekly news segment or the weekly news podcast. I'm not sure what I'm going to call it, but it's going to have a name. In this segment slash episode, well, we haven't got a lot to talk about. It hasn't been a great week for news, but what we have got to talk about is quite important and quite... things are changing and you're not going to like it, probably. Right, let's get on with it. Hummer is returning with a 1,000 horsepower all-electric truck, now under the GMC name. That's big, isn't it? Second bit of news, latest Top Gear episode. It was pretty much a direct copy of previous Top Gear episodes and the Grand Tour. So we're going to be talking about that in more detail. Third on the list, Chevrolet. Yeah, they're rumor has it they're getting rid of the Camaro, and that's a big change. Fast and Furious was also quite big, wasn't it? They brought out a trailer. That was mad. And finally, at the end of the podcast, we're going to be talking about the Mazda RX-9. Yes, more information has been revealed about it, including its engine, which is a major surprise. So hang around to the end of the podcast to find out exactly what will more than likely be powering the new Mazda RX-9. Can I just remind you that RX stands for Rotary Experiment? Rotary Experiment, yeah, so we'll see. The Hummer, let's begin with that. The Hummer badge returns, but while it's remembered for its Arnold Schwarzenegger grunt and military applications, not to mention its coal-rolling diesel engine, this time it's back with a twist. And it's got rather a lot of twist, actually, because it's been confirmed that it will have 1,000 horsepower, both off- and on-road capabilities, and the big bit of news, it's going to be all electric. Okay, yeah. So, let's start from the beginning. It was rumoured since 2014 that Hummer was going to return in some way or another. But, obviously, not with a petrol or diesel engine. This time, it's changing its fuel-burning power plant for a battery and some motors. Torque is going to come in at 11,500 pound-foot. Yeah, that's a lot. 0 to 60 is looking at about 3 seconds, which is going to be, it's fast, because this thing is not going to be light, is it? Hummers have never been known for being small, subtle, or light, so 3 seconds, that's supercar fast, in a big package. We saw the advert during the Super Bowl. We haven't seen much of the actual car, though. It's all we've seen is a grille, and it looks like it's taken straight from the H2, It's pretty obvious. It's horizontal. It's pretty boring as far as Hummers go. And I take it there's not going to be much of a whole front fascia going on because, well, apart from general styling, an electric car doesn't need much of a front fascia. It doesn't need an air intake. It doesn't need cooling in the same way a combustion engine does. And they've titled the advert "A Quiet Revolution." Which is a shame, because Hummers always sounded quite grunty and big, didn't they? Now, I've got a quote for you. This is from Duncan Aldred, Vice President of Global Buick and GMC. He says, GMC builds premium and capable trucks and SUVs, and the GMC Hummer EV takes this to new heights. We're excited to debut our revolutionary zero-emissions truck during the biggest night in TV advertising, i.e. the Super Bowl. Yeah. What do we think about this? Well, it's inevitable, isn't it, really? Cars are slowly moving over to electric propulsion, and whether you think that is right or wrong, good or bad, it is unfortunately happening. Apparently they want it to be in my country. They want every petrol, diesel, and even hybrid car banned after 2035. Not gonna happen. But what do we think of Hummer? Hummer's always been known for... pure dirt, hasn't it? It's a big truck, big 4x4, and you expect a big engine, not very fast, and you expect a lot of emissions. it's a strange... Well, I think what we've got to take from this is that they need to burst back into the market by making some noise, for want of a better word, some noise. And while their car isn't going to make any noise, I think this this new promotional media has. Because everyone's talking about it, because no one actually expected it. And I think that's a good thing. I'm looking forward to seeing some Hummers back onto the road, whether they make it to the UK or not. I highly doubt it, but it's nice to see the name back. When is it coming back? May 20th, apparently. Not long. So, we'll talk about that later this year. But until then, let's move on to Top Gear. Oh dear. Yeah, they've done it again, haven't they? On the latest episode 2 of the latest series of Top Gear, they had, let's just say, there were quite a few similarities between that and everything Clarkson Hammond and May have done. The first segment included the new McLaren Speedtail, which in itself I think is a gorgeous car and very, very powerful. I love it. A lot of people don't because they think it maybe doesn't look so good. I think it looks great. They raced it against an F-35 jet. And as I'm sure you know, Top Gear has already done that. But it was so obvious that they actually had to bring it up during the episode. And let's just note this for a second. I'm really enjoying the new Top Gear. I think the three presenters, Chris Harris, Paddy McGuinness, and Freddie Flintoff, I think they're great. They're getting there in regards to their chemistry. You know, we've got to remember the Top Gear guys, it took quite a long time for them to actually get it together too. So let's just give them a little while. I think they're already off to a great start. But this was so obviously stolen. Or not stolen, but this was such a copy of what Top Gear had originally done that they had to mention it before they actually did it. So, you know, Paddy had to say, well, Richard Hammond's done this before and we're going to do it again because technology's moved forward. Right. So I think when we're watching Top Gear, a lot of people do not watch it for the cars. They don't watch it for the reviews necessarily. They watch it for entertainment. And from, I think, a lot of people's perspective, they think, oh, cool, a fast car versus a fast plane. And they saw that back in Top Gear, the original Top Gear. With the new Top Gear, they've done it again, and I'm sure a lot of people went, cool, another fast car versus another fast plane. Yeah, okay. So they bring it up. It's not detrimental. It was actually a really good piece, but a stolen idea. And then from one stolen idea to another, the next segment of the show involved Paddy creating a car to compete with the overpriced Land Rover Defender, the new Defender that's coming out this year. Yeah, remind you of anything? Yeah, so the Grand Tour had a Mongolia special where they built an off-roading car. They called it John, I'm pretty sure. I think they called it John. Yes, they called it John. And they drove it through Mongolia to get back to civilization. Paddy also creates an off-roading car. And while they weren't using it in that kind of special episode scenario, it's pretty much the same thing, is it not? They both made cars for off-roading. It's a bit too close to the original story from the Grand Tour. And the fact that both that segment and the car versus plane segment was in the same episode, it felt quite lazy. And for that, although I really enjoyed the episode, I'm giving it a thumbs down. Sorry. Let's hope Top Gear can bring something new to their next episode. Talking of something new... actually, no, this isn't new. This is old. This is very old. The Camaro, the Chevrolet Camaro. Rumours have been circulating for a long time that the Camaro is going to be discontinued in a couple of years. Actually, no, in 3 years, sorry, 2023. Mainly for the fact that compared to the likes of the Dodge Charger, the Dodge Challenger and the Ford Mustang, it's not performing so well. It's a very capable car, but you guys aren't buying it. In 2010, for example, they sold 81,299 new Camaros. Since then, numbers, sales figures have dwindled each year, and last year they only sold 48,000, which is almost half of what they were selling 9 years ago. The Ford Mustang In comparison, last year sold 72,489 units. Yeah, not good. Very obviously, Chevrolet is missing out on something. And, I mean, do we want to give it a guess? Is it the Transformers effect? I don't know. Actually, I think the Transformers probably increased sales because everyone's kid wanted to ride in Bumblebee. This is very sad news because we actually quite like the Camaro, especially the ZL1. They all look good and they perform well. Maybe they're not quite as specialised as the Challenger and the Hellcat and Demon variants, but they're cool cars and they will always be remembered as an icon. But this love hasn't translated into sales figures, and that's obviously a big thing for a company. They don't look at the car as an icon, they look at it as a number on a sheet, and I suppose they've got to do that. But at least we can take solace in the fact that if they are discontinuing the model, they're not going to turn it into an SUV, because that'd be shit, wouldn't it? It should be noted that Chevrolet hasn't actually confirmed these rumours, but the writing's on the wall for this car. It's pretty obvious that it won't be staying around, and in fact, Chevrolet, they're embracing some rather evil, or not evil, but cheeky marketing tactics to sell them off for them. They are taking shots straight at the Mustang, or specifically owners of the Mustang. They are offering an almost £5,000 deal, that's £5,000 off deal, to any Mustang owner who is willing to trade in their car for a Camaro, and that counts for any spec of Camaro, as long as it's a 2019 model. It's only lasting this month, but it actually brings the prices down quite a lot. So let's just run over the prices quickly. So, the ZL1 Camaro, that brings the price down of that car to $56,000. And the lowest LS spec, that's going to cost less than $20,000. $19,495. That's unbelievable value. Yes, it's not overly fast and hasn't got great performance, but that is incredible money, and it makes it very, very tempting, although I bet a lot of you won't buy it, because you'd rather have a Mustang. Especially when the Mustang is featuring in the new Fast and Furious 9 trailer. Oh, God, they're back. It's back, the 9th installment, or 10th, I suppose, if you include Hobbs and whatever his name is, Hobbs and Sean and Hobbs, whatever. Oh, it is, I mean, have you seen it yet? It is full of action, drama, shooting, catching people with cars again. It is just mad. And if you haven't seen it, there will be spoilers ahead, because I'm breaking it down right here, right now. So, turns out John Cena is Vin Diesel's brother. Oh, sorry, not Vin Diesel, but Dom Toretto's brother. His name's Jacob, and he's being, I don't know, puppeted by Cypher, who is back after the last submarine chase in space. She's in some kind of glass jail cell, and she must get out, because later on in the trailer, she's seen flying a plane with a giant magnet on it, which catches a car in midair. Yep, this film is incredibly realistic. But the big things to take from it is there are two characters returning. And actually, this is great news, because I loved this film. I loved it. Tokyo Drift. Two characters returning are Sean Boswell, played by Lucas Black, and Han. I think his second name in the film is Han Solo, but obviously the actor's name is Sung Kang, and they're both back in the film. Somehow Han didn't die, which is getting people very confused. But it's looking to be really good. He comes back at the end, eating his snacks. I'm very excited. I'm going to be interested to see how they bring his character back in realistically after being blown up entirely. I don't really know how he got out of that, but I'm sure we will see. Or he's Han's long-lost secret brother. It could go either way. But the advert's going to feature lots and lots of cars, such as the new Ford Mustang GT500, Dodge Charger, Hellcat, widebody, I believe, and a Pontiac Fiero with a rocket booster strapped to the top of it. So, you know, can't go wrong, surely. We'll see. We'll talk about that later on when it does come out. But for now, I am quite excited, although let's just remember it's not a car film anymore. It is an action stunt death to everything film, and there's always a place in my heart for one of them. Right, the last bit of news that we've all been looking forward to this information coming out for a long time. The Mazda RX-9, RX, Rotary Experiment. What engine is powering it? Well, the rumours have been flying again, and I have a feeling it's not going to be a rotary engine. Yeah. So Jalopnik has been talking about these rumours, and they are pretty sure that instead of using a rotary engine, Mazda will be using a 3-litre inline-6 Skyactiv unit, producing 350 to 450 horsepower. Yeah, we've heard rumours that it's going to be hybrid. We've heard rumours that it's going to be fully electric. No, it looks like it's going to be Skyactiv. So this is interesting because obviously it's called the RX. So either this is complete toss, or Mazda's going to have to do some explaining to their marketing. Because RX means rotary experiment, as I've said many times. But there is a good thing that we can take from this. And to be honest, I don't want to say this, but I think it might be the right decision to make. The rotary, it's always going to be a sought-after engine. But it's not reliable. And yes, I know a load of people say, oh, I've had a rotary, and yeah, it's been perfectly fine because I look after it. Do you think the majority of people are going to want to refill a car's oil every time you fill up the fuel, you know, the fuel tank? Do you think the average person is going to want to waste time doing that when they could buy an electric car and do nothing? Mazda has to think about this. It has to be a reliable engine that people don't even have to look at. They just push the right foot down and it goes forward. A rotary engine isn't going to be able to do that, unfortunately, because they've been trying. I've been keeping up with the updates. Mazda is trying to build a rotary engine that is reliable, and it's just not working. So the Skyactiv engine, they are great. I think it's the way forward for Mazda, you know, as they're not going to be including turbos and, you know, adding turbos and forced induction to their engines. I think this is a great way to move forward. And to be honest, it could also be quite tunable. If you fancy the turbo, you could probably whack it on. They're quite... Yeah, the engine's not amazingly tunable in regards to adding forced induction, but we'll see. We'll see. But the main news after that, because obviously that's pretty goddamn big, is that Mazda's turning 100 years old, actually, this month. Do you think we're going to see anything? Will Mazda release anything for their 100th birthday? I'm hoping so, and I'm hoping it's going to be the RX-9, whatever form it takes. All that Mazda will have to remember is that the Supra is now released. There is a Supra in the wild, everybody. We know this. It's been out for quite a few months now. So with around 400 horsepower, they're really going to have to focus on the chassis and the fun of the engine and the fact that it is an actual Mazda and not a BMW. I'm sure we'll see the Supra versus the RX-9 or whatever name it does take in the future. And it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be great to see the two cars back on the road together. Not quite how we want them. You know, the Supra's gone with a BMW powertrain. God, things are changing. Yep. The car industry is looking very unhealthy at the moment. There's a lot of small cars for people who don't give a shit. And there's a lot of wrong cars for people who do. Has anyone actually seen a Supra on the road yet? No, me neither. I've seen a couple of the new Z4s, though. They are ugly. Anyway, that wraps it up for this week's news. It's been a short one, but, you know, we'll ease back in. It's been quite a slow week for news as well. But make sure you check in at grandtournation.com. We put up news every day. however good or bad it is. And make sure you follow us on all the social sites, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just search for Grand Tour Nation and we will be there. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Please follow if you liked it, and we will talk to you next week.